Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Eli Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of our souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be to me my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us pray. O my Father, by thy Spirit we do pray that these things will be worked in our heart even this day by thy Spirit, and that our souls will be drawn out after thee, and we will walk with thee in that way of righteousness and true holiness, and given ourselves wholly and completely unto thee, having these promises to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. For it is in Christ's name that I pray and ask. Amen.
Through his blood, I need.
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. And indeed, your letters have been encouraging this past week, and I praise God for it to know how He's working and dealing in your souls. We'd be happy if you would write us this next week and tell us what these messages each week mean to you and how God is dealing with your heart at this particular time. And when you do, ask for these messages that we're delivering now, and we'll be happy to send a copy to you free and postpaid. Ask for them by name, The True Gospel versus The False Gospel. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Dear friends, we have for the past weeks been setting before you a warning against the false gospel of carnal Christianity that is being preached and practiced today, along with setting before you the true gospel of the grace of God as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been using the text, Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Listen to God's word. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We've been showing you from God's word that such a gospel, this false gospel of carnal Christianity, is not the good news of the gospel of the grace of God as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the false gospel makes every provision for a continuance in sin, while the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, a deliverance from the power and penalty of sin, and makes all the provisions by the grace of God for a continuous walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness. Yes, in salvation the power of sin is broken. It no longer reigns in the believer's life, because now the grace of God reigns through righteousness, and that by the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have showed you from the Word of God that if indeed you have been brought by the Holy Spirit to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you've been made a new creation in Christ, and it is impossible to make sin the practice and rule of your life anymore. For as Romans 6:2 puts it, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The Word of God says, impossible. Why? For 1 John 3:9 tells us that we cannot make sin the practice and rule of our life anymore because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. His seed remaineth in us, and the Holy Spirit is there, and He will not let us walk according to the course of this world anymore as we did once according to the prince of the power of the air. Beloved, I want you to listen again today as we go over together another time this great eternal truth that we've been stressing so much in our past messages, and it is this, that a Christian is one who is in Christ, and because he is in Christ, he has died with him. He has been buried with Christ. He is risen with Christ. And he is alive unto God in Christ. And because of this identification with Christ, the repenting, believing sinner has been freed from sin. He has died to sin and its reigning power, and sin no longer has dominion over him. Now, the Christian is asked, Pastor, in what sense is the believer in Christ freed from sin or has died to sin? And I think this is a good question. It's in order for right now, for we have continually made the statement in this series of messages that the believing child of God is dead to sin and freed from its power. So listen as I give you scriptural and biblical reasons why the believer, and in what sense the believer, is freed from sin and has died to sin. The scriptures plainly teach that we are not dead to sin's influence. For we are told in Romans 7, 15 and 19 that sin still influences us because we still have sin in the flesh according to Romans 8:10. We're given negatives now. The Scriptures plainly tell us that we're not dead to sin's influence. For Romans 7:15 and 19 tell us that we still come under its influence because we have sin in the flesh, according to Romans 8:10. Again, we're not yet dead to the presence of sin. For Romans 7:21 tells us that we will not be freed from the presence of sin till we get our new bodies in the resurrection. Nor are we freed from the effects of sin in this life. Because Romans 7:24 and Psalms 51:2 makes us cry out against sin, for it is still the plague of our hearts. And our Lord has taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, according to Luke 11:4, and has given us 1 John 1:9 as our confession box and the throne of grace to come to get help in time of need. Watch it now. Those are the negatives. We are not delivered from its influence, nor its presence, nor its effect. Watch it now. But the Scriptures are clear that we are dead to sin as a master who rules over us. For Christ is our Lord, and where sin once reigned unto death, grace now reigns through righteousness unto eternal life, according to Romans 5:21. Again, we are dead to sin in regard to its guilt. For you see, sin can no longer condemn us, for we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, washed by faith in His precious blood, and stand before God completely justified from all sin. Listen to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:33 tells us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Again, we are dead to sin as a course of life. For we no longer walk according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2:2, as we did before we were saved, when we walked in darkness. But we are now light in the Lord, and walk as children of light, according to Ephesians 5:8. And I say, because the Word of God says, sin is not looked upon as a friend or a bosom pal anymore, but as an enemy. All right? We said negative. We're not dead to sin's influence. We're not dead to sin's presence. And we're not dead or freed from the effects of sin because we still cry out after sin. But we are dead to sin as our master, for Christ is our master and grace reigns in the heart. Second, we are dead to the guilt of sin, for there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Third, we are dead to sin as the course of our life, for we no longer walk in darkness, but in the light of the Lord. And fourth, we are dead to sin. It is no longer our friend, but our enemy, and we are by the grace of God freed from it, and therefore flee from it. Now, my friend, this is something that God does for every soul whom He saves. He frees every soul in this way and makes them dead to sin. And my friend, my beloved, we should never lose sight of this. And I tell you why. Because here lies our hope. Here lies our peace. Here lies our assurance. Yes, our very salvation that has been so freely given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are those who would teach us that we can be Christians, that we can be justified, but that we are not freed from sin or dead to sin. But that is something that will arrive by and by in some future experience. But my friend, this is not so. This is the false gospel of carnal Christianity that allows you to go on in sin, making excuses for sin, saying, well, it is not me that sins, but my old flesh that sins. But my friend, this is the false gospel that lets you claim Christ as your Savior, but does not demand that you bow to Jesus as Lord. All right, now for today, I desire to show you from God's Word one of the greatest reasons why the gospel of carnal Christianity is false And it is this, because of our union with Christ, yes? This puts the lie to the fact that we can still live after the flesh and say we are saved. You see, our union with Christ in all that He is and has done and is doing for us is the greatest reason for our holding out to the end in that persevering grace and faith that is given to us in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow us now. If the Word of God teaches anything, it teaches us that a true child of God in salvation has become identified with Christ and has been united to Him in an unchanging and an unbroken union. You see, this matter of union with Christ, the Scriptures tells us that God, the Holy Trinity, is interested in. For we read these words from our Lord's high priestly prayer in John 17. Listen to God's Word. Neither pray I for these alone, those 11 that were with Him, but for them also which shall deliver, shall believe on Me through their word, they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, that they may be one even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that we may be made perfect in one. So we see here that our blessed Lord prayed for this union with His people, which He purchased for them upon the cross. We see also that this prayer has been answered. For in salvation, we become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow us further. Again, the Scriptures declare that this union is of God our Father. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of God are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Yes, the Father purposed and planned it from eternity. The Son prayed for it and purchased it upon the cross. And 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13 declares that the Holy Spirit has made it effective in the heart and the life of each one of God's children. My friend, that's true. That's the Word of God. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Are you listening? Here we have it in plain words. We who are saved have been baptized into Christ, and so we see then that we are united to Christ, who is the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Watch it now as we build upon this thought of union with Christ. For these are gracious things which the Holy Spirit desires that we bring to your hearts today to drive nails in the coffin of this false doctrine of carnal Christianity. I want you to turn with me to Romans 7:4. And let us read together what it is said there. Wherefore, my brethren, we also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. I say, how precious this is. Married to Christ, given to Him in the spiritual bonds of matrimony, never to be divorced or separated, because we have been joined together in that inseparable union of love. Oh, my friend, stop and meditate upon that. Married to Christ, spiritually speaking, joined together in that inseparable union of love. Then I ask the question, how can I, who have been joined to Christ in that holy union of spiritual love, who have pledged myself to Him for time and for eternity, who have made Him my choice forever, who have left all other lovers to cleave only unto Him as long as I live. Yes, I ask, how can I think of, much less practice, spiritual adultery? It is unthinkable, because it is impossible. He has won my heart with His dying love. He has won my heart with the power of His resurrection. He has won my heart by all of His love gifts to my soul. Yes, He keeps me by His continued high priestly prayer within the veil. And beloved, I have this promise that He is coming to receive me unto Himself, that where He is, there I will be also throughout eternity. And I say, in lure of all of this, I ask the question, can I ever leave Him? Will He ever leave me so that I again will be under the rule of sin? No. Why? Because He has pledged Himself to get me home at last, without spot or blemish, and to present me spotless before the Heavenly Father, who Himself chose me to be the bride of His Son forever, according to Jude 24. This is shouting grounds, because I have His word for it, that having redeemed my never-dying soul from the pit of hell, and snatching me from the captivity of Satan, He shall hold me to Himself forever and ever, and will not let me go. And you ask me, Pastor, how shall He do this? By His constraining love, and His constraining power, and is by His persevering grace He has fenced me in. You see, my friend, this all holds true in the physical life. If I love my wife, and I do, then I do not need another. If I have forsaken all others for her, then I am satisfied and content to be with her, and that until death do us part. Oh, that Christendom would see this great truth today, that just as true love holds the husband and wife, and they are true to each other, so in the spiritual, true love to Christ holds us true to Him in that marriage vow taken at salvation. My friend, you ought to remember the words of Hebrews 13:4, where it says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And my friend, if this is true in the physical, and it is, rest assured that it is true in the spiritual. How do we know this? Well, James 4:4 tells us, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemies of God. Yes, God will judge the spiritual adulterers and adulteresses who claim to be married to Christ and yet prostitute their love in the lust of sin. What God is saying here is this, that you're not saved if you live in sin. You're His enemy and abide under His wrath, and you cannot hide under 1 Corinthians 3:2 and say that I am just a carnal Christian. It will just not hold water. This same truth of union with Christ is brought out in 1 Corinthians 6:15 and Ephesians 5:30, in these words, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? For you are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Then the question is asked, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? The answer is, God forbid, perish the thought. Why? Because we have been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to another, even to Jesus Christ Himself. He is our head and our husband. And my friend, as if all of these scriptures were not proof enough of the impossibility of the gospel of carnal Christianity being true, because of our spiritual union with Christ, we have this further proof as given in these scriptures. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we find written that the child of God, the Christian, has the mind of Christ. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, we find written that the child of God has the Spirit of Christ who indwells him. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. In Romans 8:35, we find written that the child of God has the love of God shed abroad in his heart. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. Or as 2 Corinthians 5:14 puts it, the love of Christ constrains me. It holds me. And again in Colossians 3:4 it is written that the child of God has the very life of Christ in him. Therefore, he will not make sin the practice and rule of his life. Yes, the Bible is full of reasons why the child of God will not make sin the rule and practice of his life. He is dead in Christ, therefore dead to the life of sin. He is married to Christ, therefore bound in the law of love and matrimony. He is in Christ, therefore has the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the love of Christ, yea, the very life of Christ dwelling in him by the Holy Spirit. So I say again, based upon the authority of God's Word, that the gospel of carnal Christianity is false, because the true gospel of the grace of God in Christ has given us so much, and the power of this gospel has delivered us from the law of sin and death, and has caused us to walk in newness of life. My friend, do you know anything about this gospel that sets you free from the law of sin and death? Have you ever experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to convince you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come? Has He set your sins in order before your face and showed to you your guilty condition before God? Listen to me now. Has God the Holy Spirit ever brought before you your true condition, that you are deceived, that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Can you remember the Holy Spirit conviction, how you were brought down at the feet of God in true repentance, and that you hated sin, and you longed after holiness and righteousness to be freed from the penalty and power and wrath of sin? And when you heard the gospel of the grace of God, that good news of salvation and deliverance in Christ, did you close in with Him by faith, that faith that the Holy Spirit gives to trust Christ with? To trust Him with your never-dying soul for time and for eternity. I say, and I ask, has the Holy Spirit thus worked in your soul? If He has, you will remember it, and you will remember that He broke sin's dominion in your life. Where sin reigned, grace does now reign to righteousness under eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, I trust that the Holy Spirit has so worked, or will work this, in every one of your hearts and lives as you listen today. And I pray that you'll write us and tell us that God has done this in my soul, so that we can rejoice with you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. My friend, we've been happy that you've been with us today. We pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.